Right now, 59 at KSCO Studios in Santa Cruz. 10:06, time for hour one of the Saturday special. Here's MZ.
Hi, Rick. Did something happen in Felton, California?
Felton Remembers Parade.
Oh, Felton Remembers, not Felton Remembered.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. They're remembering all of those that served. And
sorry, all the people who served. Yeah, you shouldn't make jokes about that. But, well, good. So are you having a pleasant holiday weekend working at KSCO?
So far, so good.
Okay, great. I'm sure you're going to have a great time the rest of your off hours, huh? So we got a pretty interesting show today about one of my favorite topics. So let's start the show officially.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, KSCO Country. It's MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the Saturday special. For Saturday, May 25th, 2013, it's Memorial Day weekend. We hope you guys are all having a great time this weekend. We'll be celebrating right up until the end of Monday. And that you'll stay with us here on your favorite radio station on the Saturday special right up until noon time. We think you'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
It is with a great deal of pleasure that I welcome my friends Joanne and Michael Shaw to KSCO. Now, Michael is a name that you have heard quite frequently over the years. Michael is an occasional co-host of the Perspectives radio show, which comes on right after the Saturday special, has for kind of 12 or 15 years now. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And, of course, his lovely bride, Joanne. I've been acquainted with the Shaws since, I think, 1988, when together we were in a group called Citizens for Planning Reform. And we did a two-hour talk show on this station on Monday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m., and the radio station was not a talk radio station back then, but it had this one talk show that was installed sort of as an experiment to see how talk radio would go on KSCO. And I didn't own the station back then. It was owned by Fuller Jeffrey Broadcasting and Mobile Home Sales. And back then, JJ, who was a character, JJ Jeffrey of Fuller Jeffrey, and I were buddies, and he was a big time disc jockey from WLS, one of the biggest rock and roll, you know, stations in the country in Chicago when I was a kid growing up, and he was one of my heroes, and here I got to meet him when he became the owner of KSCO along with his partner Bob Fuller. And they tried all kinds of formats that really didn't work. They tried one right after another. They changed formats like people change underwear, it was jokingly said, you know. And I said, well, JJ, why don't you try a talk show, at least one talk show to see if talk radio can work. Because I got a hunch it can. And he said, well, who would do it? And I said, well, I've got my old high school government teacher, Mr. Bob Listener, would be a great host of that program. So he said, well, introduce me to him. So I brought Bob Listener to World Headquarters. It was a bar called Polivio's Restaurant on East Cliff Drive. You're not too far from the radio station. I brought Bob to meet JJ at World Headquarters, and we talked about doing this talk show all about the abusive planning departments in the city and county of Santa Cruz. that were ravaging people and terrorizing people who simply wanted to do simple things with their properties, like do an addition if you got a new kid or something like that. And they would treat people back then, and I think maybe still.
Certainly. But
we'll talk about that later. They would treat people back then. I'll use myself as an example. I had a lot that I had worked very, very hard to purchase and was making payments on Escalona Drive in Santa Cruz. It was a steep slope lot with a beautiful view and a great neighborhood right around the corner from where I grew up. And I had to go through a horrendous design review process where I had to appear before a zoning board of five, egomaniacs, who most of whom couldn't even read a set of drawings. But they would just have, they would say, I have a problem with this design. I can't put my finger on it. I just don't like it. And I said, well, so they're not going to approve it. So I don't get to build the house on my own property. Come on. I mean, I meet the setbacks, I meet the height restrictions, but it's a 30% slope. And so you have to go through this design review process. This was back in 1979. Okay. And so I became, it sort of changed my politics, that experience, because I used to be a pretty liberal, sort of guy, growing up, going through school and everything, and my politics were pretty predictable as a young person. But when I became a property owner and saw all the hoops that I had to go through just to get five disinterested people to allow me to move forward with my plans to build my home in West Santa Cruz, I said, wait a minute, this is wrong. This isn't right. I mean, it's like I get to pay the taxes and the mortgage and everything about owning the property, but it isn't really my property. It's the government's property. It seemed a little like communism, even back then. And so I became political then as a result of that experience. And some, 8 or 9 years later, I saw in the personals. I don't know why. I just happened to be reading the personals. I didn't normally do that. In the Santa Cruz Sentinel, there was no internet back then. This was in 1988, I think
it 87. Michael.
Maybe it was 87. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw an ad in personals in the Santa Cruz Sentinel that said, "Fed up with the permit process to build? ? Let's do something about it. Call this phone number."
I remember that.
And I called that phone number. It was a lady named Janelle Montero, who is a dynamo. She's a dynamo. Boy, you talk about somebody who takes action.
That's right.
And I thought that was a really neat. And I had a long conversation with her. And we were sort of comparing notes. I wasn't a developer or anything. I think I tried to, do one or two houses or something after my own, which, by the way, turned out pretty nicely. I mean, after the design review process, to this day, I think is ridiculous and should be illegal. I ended up with a house that I did like, and the design turned out to be better than the original design. I mean, I'm in all fairness. But I don't think I should have had to have gone through that design review process. How in the world, how dare a government get off legislating personal taste?
Exactly.
I don't think that's right. All right, so the result of my conversation with Janelle Montero, who ran this ad, fed up with the building process, the process to build, let's do something about it, resulted in this group
Citizens.
Being formed, of which you guys were part, because you would call the same number, I assume.
Exactly. We were all there on the first meeting together regarding the planning department.
And my father, Dr. Bernard Zwirling, an optometrist, who had just sort of stood by, we're a pretty tightly close-knit family, he saw what hell I had gone through, and later my sister trying to build her house, what hell we had gone through. And so he got involved too, even though he wasn't building houses or anything like that, but he thought it was wrong. And he's the one who came up with the name of the group, CPR, Citizens for Planning Reform. So anyhow, and then I went to J.J. Jeffrey here, at the, my friend who was the co-owner of the station and a bunch of other stations around the country, and said, J.J., why don't we do a talk show, just one talk show on the radio station, and we'll call it the Citizens for Planning Reform talk show. The purpose will be to let people call in and spout off about their experiences, positive or negative, with the Santa Cruz city or county planning departments. And he said, sure, let's do it. He says, and I said, I got the perfect host, and it was Mr. Listener. Well, after Mr. Listener left World Headquarters, JJ said, yeah, we can do it, but you have to be the host. You have to be the host, and you can have Mr. Listener as the co-host, because he's a civilian, and you're a radio guy, and you understand this. So I said, really? Wow, I wasn't thinking about it for myself. Anyhow, that's what happened. The CPR talk show became very, very popular. We raised a war chest of thousands of dollars, you know, for the to be put to use for legal funds, you know, to help people, you know, fight their unfair treatment by the government agencies. And, you know, we all had our personal stories, mm-hmm. you know, why we joined CPR. And your personal story, I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, was that you had a few years earlier purchased a magnificent parcel, about 72 acres, I think, on the ocean side of Highway 1, between, I think, San Andreas and Marmonte Road, a lot of that land, and it is absolutely gorgeous land, with the hopes of building your home there and maybe one or two others or something, right? You weren't,
correct.
You were never planning to
never.
Do a, like a major development and cut it up into one-acre parcels, 70 or 80 homes. You were never planning anything like that.
No, it was zoned for 2.5-acre parcels, and we attempted to get four lots created, and that's what we were doing.
And was I right about 72 acres total?
Yeah, 74 acres.
74,
yes.
Okay.
So it's zoned for 29 houses. It's now been 28 years, and we've been in battle with the planning department off and on.
Just to get four.
No, now to just get one.
Yeah.
Now to just get one?
Well, recently, over the past few years.
6 years, we've attempted to get one house, and Ellen Peary was very effective at just stalling and stagnating and prohibiting that from happening.
Okay, and she was the... Was, right? I mean,
yes.
She was a supervisor from your area. What did she have against you guys?
Well, Ellen Peary, as the other members of the Board of Supervisors, is committed to this globalist plan, which calls for the abolition of private property. And so our property was used as a perfect, experimental grounds for implementing these internationalist programs, which have been adopted by the Board of Supervisors, and as is evidenced in their records for the last 20 years now.
Okay, is there a word for that? Agenda 21?
Well, it's called, locally it's called, and across the country it's called sustainable development. But it is sustainable development and Agenda 21 are
synonymous.
Agenda
21 stands for the agenda for the 21st century. And the blueprint explains how sustainable development is to unfold.
Right. Okay. Now, over the years, since I've had the station, we bought it on February 1st, 1991. Over the years, we've had many talk shows that talked about Agenda 21, and this show was going to do that a little bit too, or maybe a lot. And I always noticed that people's, when you would bring up something ethereal like this, something that people don't understand, and it almost seems too foreign, and that the person who's talking about that has got to be from another planet or something. It makes people's eyes sort of glaze over. That's what I used to notice. Now I'm noticing that that's happening less and less, and more people are paying attention to. Now, part of it, I'm sure, has to do with you have made it, you know, a priority in your life, Michael Shaw, to do a lot of radio and television interviews and print interviews about Agenda 21 and about sustainable development and how it's like part of a, would you say, a master plan of the United Nations to basically nationalize people's property or globalize
Well, it's certainly a master plan. It is the plan for the 21st century. But it's really, you know, it's dismissed when it's called a United Nations plan. It originated through the United Nations, but it was adopted by the federal government immediately. I mean, George Bush Sr. signed on Agenda 21 in 1992, and Bill Clinton, when he became president, created President's Council on Sustainable Development. And the federal government has infused, at that time and since, every federal agency with its primary objective of the implementation of sustainable development. So while the program was birthed in the United States, it is delivered to our community through the federal government and now through state governments. And of course, Santa Cruz was one of the pilot grounds for the U.S. experience with sustainable development. We were implementing it back at the beginning of the Patton era in the mid-70s. And so...
Now, let's talk about sustainable development and what that means for a second, okay? Sustainable, okay? That... Objection sustained. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, you're an attorney. You're a lawyer. I mean, you're not a practicing lawyer, right? But you have the legal background. So to me, sustainable development means development that feeds on itself almost or supports itself. What the hell does that mean?
It's not the traditional word sustainable. In fact, sustainability, which we hear so often, didn't even exist in the dictionary over 20 years ago. And it's an ambiguous term. Michael can go into it more, but that's the problem with it. And a better way to understand sustainable development is to understand what's unsustainable.
Yeah, so this internationalist cabal came up with a new definition of the word sustainable, and the way they've defined it is, quote, development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Now, that's an expression that comes right out of the 1977 Soviet Constitution. It is the idea that we need to control all human action today, and we do it because, they argue, we're preserving life for future generations. But irony of that is evidenced in one of the sustainability documents. It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. So this is a UN document, 1,150 pages, which actually says the human population, to be sustainable, must be reduced by 85%.
Huh?
Sustainability means a massively reduced human population. So today when we hear the government of Santa Cruz talk about sustainability, oh, we're not into Agenda 21, they tell you. Neil Coonerty said that the other night. They are all about sustainability. But if you look at the sustainability guidebook, it is about total control of human action and the reduction of human population, because human beings are not sensitive to the Earth's environment, is the argument by those who argue in favor of Agenda 21.
But it's never expressed the way Michael just said it. It comes behind warm and fuzzy pictures and coffee shops and new infrastructure and reduced roads and words
bicycles,
like consensus and safe routes to school. So that's what people have to look for, are the red alert buzzwords that are promoting the underlying agenda that Michael just spoke about. And right now in Santa Cruz...
It's pretty insidious.
It's very insidious and it's very deceitful. And that's what people don't expect. They don't expect to be lied to when they go to a community meeting and they think they have a smiling, helpful person leading the meeting. It's a paid facilitator guiding this group into a predetermined outcome that advances this Agenda 21, which is to assess, monitor, and control us ultimately.
Okay. Now, I've known you guys for years, as we said. Okay? You are anything but crazy nut cases.
That's correct.
Anything.
That's right. We're not. We read the documents. We've been studying this 24/7 for... you know, 13 years.
Yeah.
We found that the planning department struggles we were having and thousands of other people in this county. We're fortunate. We still have a home. Other people have been deprived of their home and shelter. And we're concerned about that. We found that property rights violation from the planning department was actually an element of Agenda 21 sustainable development.
And you know, we've Sam Farr, our congressman, I know has been a major proponent of Agenda 21 since almost the beginning. Am I right?
That's correct.
And as recently as last year, when Sam came on and as a guest on this station with Bill White, and he's been a guest on the station, you know, a number of times over the years, and has been the subject of some not very complimentary commentaries on the part of my mom, who has absolutely no use for the guy. But to Sam's credit, he came on and spent, it was supposed to be 10 minutes with Bill Wattenberg last year. You remember that show?
I do remember that.
Yeah. And Bill made, Bill, I just felt for Sam. I mean, it was supposed to be for 10 minutes because Sam was a very busy man, right? You know, with his congressman duties and so forth. But to his credit, he stayed on for, I think, an hour and 20 minutes and went through an awful lot of abuse from Bill. And that made Bill think much higher of Sam. At the end of the program, Bill asked Sam about Agenda 21, and Sam said, "I don't know what you're talking about."
That's crazy. I have a letter.
I know. I was listening to the show. And I Googled because I'd heard that he was like a major guy.
Absolutely.
You know, behind the whole thing. So I found this letter really quickly, and I was the last caller of that show after Sam had just rung off. I was hoping that he would still be on. But, you know, so Bill, though he didn't like anything that he had heard about or read about Sam Farr, he thought that he was an upstanding guy for coming onto the radio ostensibly for 10 minutes and then sticking it out, going through a lot of abuse. And I got to admit that I felt that way towards Sam, too, as a result of that program. But when he came right out and said, which I understand he said before, because a lot of people have asked him about Agenda 21, and he'd say, "What? What's that?"
That's what a lot of the implementers do. They lie about it.
Uh-huh. So I got a copy of this letter and read it really quickly. There was only like, you know, a minute and a half left of the program, and that just blew Bill Wattenberg away. I mean, it made him madder than a hornet.
Right.
That he had just been lied to directly by this guy that he had interviewed.
And Sam Farr at one time had a UN flag in his office. We have a picture of that. UN flag at the County Planning Department. They were not hiding it back then. It's become...
I wonder why they hide it now.
Right.
Well, because the public is on to it.
Well, most of the public, I believe, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, are very much in favor of the UN.
They don't understand what
I
it really
believe
is.
That's correct. The ones who don't understand what an evil, evil, evil organization it is.
It's a tyranny in the making,
yeah,
absolutely.
I believe, but I still believe way more people think the UN is roses and flowers and perfume instead of caca.
That's why we're here.
Instead of dog dirt.
That's why we're here. People need to get educated and understand.
And anthrax. I'll say it even worse. Anthrax.
Well, the reality, though, is that it's not the UN that's bringing this Sustainable Development Agenda 21 program to Santa Cruz or to America. It is Americans bringing that program. And we talk about how...
Evil Americans or stupid Americans?
Both. Opportunist, evil, and stupid. Weak. A lot of weak characters.
But let's talk about another local politician. It was 10 years ago or so, you were interviewing Gary Patton.
Uh-huh.
And I was an innocent caller, just called in as Michael and asked him about Agenda 21, to which he said he knew nothing about it. He'd never heard of it. And yet in 1993, 1 year after the UN conference on Agenda 21, the Board of Supervisors on the consent calendar. This is 1993.
When Gary was the chairman.
He was the chairman
many times, but maybe, you know, he was on the council for, he was on the supervisors for 20 years, I think, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he brought a letter
to the consent calendar dated March 17, 1993, and a letter from Jeannie Nordland, the chairperson of Local Agenda 21 Steering Committee. They came out with a thick book that has the writing from SANFAR endorsing Agenda 21 in it. And Agenda 21, Chapter 18, Local Authorities Initiative in Support of Agenda 21. Well, Patton brought all this material, I'm reading from the official record right now, to the Board of Supervisors, and an article from the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. That organization is called ICLEI. That's the group that really globalizes Santa Cruz policy. So the Board of Supervisors has had a relationship with this organization now for 20 years. Well, on the consent calendar, Gary Patton directed, the board directed.
We're talking about many years ago.
Many years ago, directed the chairperson to submit a letter endorsing the Agenda 21 model program proposal as submitted to the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives as recommended by Supervisor Patton. Well, then in roughly 2003 on your radio show with my call in, he said he'd never heard of Agenda 21. These politicians simply lie.
That's correct. And Measure C.
I wonder why. Because if they cop to knowing about it, then what's going
to
happen?
Well, if they cop to knowing about it, people won't like it, number one. Number two, it's treason.
Pretty powerful word, Mike.
Well, here, and let me make that argument. I've actually delivered.
What they're doing is antithetical to the Constitution of the United States. There's the abolition of private property. There's not a respect for unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, property. That's all obliterated under Agenda 21. It is treasonous. They're following this ICLEI, which is headquartered in Bonn, Germany. The values are antithetical to America.
Okay. All right. So anyhow, it's taken hold and it's growing more and more. And now the politicians can't lie. The cat's out of the bag.
They still
right?
do. Well, they still do. Huh. You can go to a meeting and people will say, this plan's about reducing our auto mobility, our ability to get around in our car. Oh, no, they say. It's not about that. You'll still have your car. That's an outright lie, and they know it, because these policies actually shrink roads, close roads, and get us into...
shrink roads and close roads for themselves? Or is it going to be one of those things where, like Obamacare, where they vote it through for us, but they are exempted from it?
They'll have the chaperone lanes. There are drivers in their toll lanes, special lanes for them. Their limousine drivers.
We are speaking with Joanne and Michael Shaw here on the Saturday Special, ostensibly about property rights and Agenda 21. And we haven't even touched on wonderful news that they received this week. They had a lawsuit that apparently has been going on for some 11 years, in which they emerged as the victors this week. And for people who are not into property rights, I guess it's not a very big news story, but for me, it's a huge news story. And it wouldn't matter. I mean, it's great that it's my friends, that people that I know. But it wouldn't matter if they were strangers, If this thing, tell us a little bit about what happened today, or what happened this week, Mike.
Well, 10 years ago, in 2002, the County of Alameda, I had been processing a permit for a self-storage facility along the 580 freeway. That's been my business for 25 years, is the development and operation of self-storage enterprises around the West. And we had processed for a permit, and then suddenly the county council said we could not have a permit because of a measure called Measure D in Alameda County, which took about 80% of the land in Alameda County and made it unusable for any development interest. And so we brought a lawsuit. And
because your permit had already been issued prior to that.
We had received all of our discretionary permits, and they simply said, we're not going to process your building permit plans anymore. You're out of luck. And that violates the law that was well established. And so we sued, and we won at various levels at trial, won again and again and again. We got an order compelling the county to pay us $500,000 for the wrongful doing of county council. I mean, that's a big deal in itself. Now, that was some years ago. But finally, we wanted our trial, a case on what's called inverse condemnation. That means a regulatory taking of property, because they use this Measure D to deny us any use of our property. And the Court of Appeals in San Francisco ruled here recently that the trial court judgment stood, and the county's position, and I'm quoting the appellate court now, the county's position was simple nonsense. So the county was ordered to pay us an additional $2 million for this inverse condemnation ruling, which is
that
notable.
That happened this week,
which was notable because in a recent U.S. Supreme Court oral argument, Chief Justice Roberts opined that the whole process of inverse condemnation has been so contrived that nobody can win. And, in fact, nobody has been winning. But our case, the court called the planner outrageous and unbelievable in his testimony.
Wow.
And it was just a total smashing victory affirmed the trial court's ruling in all respects. We did hear yesterday that the county is going to take this to the state Supreme Court, and I assume after that the U.S. Supreme Court. I welcome that because I don't think they have any chance of winning. The decision was so precise and so thorough and so steeped in law that's usually ignored by trial courts and appellate courts that we feel very confident that we'll continue to prevail.
Wow. Well, congratulations to both of you and for doing the heavy lifting. You know, for a lot of other people who don't have, who wouldn't go as far as you have, you know, in this action. We're talking with Joanne and Michael Shaw on the Saturday special. We're going to open the phone lines at 831 area code 479-1080. I don't think anybody knows more about Agenda 21 than the Shaws. I could be wrong, but I know that you've made it a sort of a personal crusade of yours, Michael, to get the word out about the danger of what's going on right under our noses. And people are busy, you know, both property owners and non-property owners are busy. And this is what we've already said earlier. It's an insidious process that's going on, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And you know, people need to know about what's happening here. 479-1080 or mz@kseo.com if you want to participate on today's Saturday special via email. Let me get to our first caller here. It would be Wendy from Ben Lomond. Wendy's been waiting quite a while. But you're on the air, Wendy. Welcome to KSCO and the Saturday special with the Shaws and MZ. Hi.
I want to thank you for all your work. And I wanted to kind of put this back local a little bit more, because I think we've got a backlash from the Aaron Brockovich dynamic, where rural properties were shown in the big screen in an Oscar-winning movie to have property rights when it came to how big corporations were using taking resources out of the land. And so getting people off the land, hey, that's what the big corps want. Now, when I looked at the Agenda 21, the International Council for Local Environments Initiative is what they now call it, so that no one remembers, you know, as soon as a name gets known, they have to change it. They're giving politicians 10 ushigushi, wuzzy form, you know, greenwashed, totally, you know, terribly uninformed pages that make their, you know, their constituents happy to get involved in this. And then you jump from absolutely nothing of substance to 1,000 pages of legalese for corporate lawyers that make it easy for them to go anywhere and take over. And that was you know, my way of seeing it. And in Santa Cruz locally, we have, you know, the people in the middle, you know, who have to get, you know, sell their property to people who need mortgages, who have to actually, you know, go buy the coats, who have to do things the right way. But then they market all these other properties that no one cares about to one corporate entity to another, managed by property management, and they don't care. So half of the stuff in Santa Cruz is dangerous, and the other half is so hard to get any codes on that it's impossible for people to own.
I see.
And you get a lot of people, a lot of renters, who are just fed up with the entire system, and we don't even want to be around here. So, you know, you move somewhere, you don't want to stay in the you know, the beautiful area with lots of resources for those corporations to come in and take and poison everything. And they go into the cities and they say, oh, urban is so great. You don't want to have a garden. You don't want to have, you know, a place to take your family out, because we want that. And that's how I see Agenda 21.
Yeah, Agenda 21 does involve a lot of corporate control. There's a lot of partnering.
So it's more than just government.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
Uh-huh. Private,
government seems the fool to me. They're the ones who are being fooled.
It's huge bankers and corporations, multinationals, that are involved in promoting this agenda. It comes from the right, the business angle, and the left, the environmental angle.
So what do you guys think of Alex Jones?
Alex has a lot of informative guests on his show. I haven't figured out Alex completely.
I like Alex. Alex, you know, is great.
Yeah, there's a lot of information.
Well, he's very passionate. And,
very
and,
passionate.
Every radio station that picks up Alex as an affiliate sees amazing things happen to its listenership, including and especially KSCO back in 2009. I mean, I listened to a friend of mine who I thought was crazy when he said replace Bill O'Reilly with with Alex Jones. I said, are you out of your mind?
It's much more substantive.
Yeah,
he's able to see the conspiracy in everybody.
I'm happy to say that I listened to Glenn, and we did that, and what Glenn said was true. He said, if you put Alex Jones on, you are going to attract thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of new listeners to KSCO, and like a magnet. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And there's a reason. Because this guy is... Now, he's a lot more animated and colorful than we are.
Correct.
You know, talking about... For sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But he talks about eugenics and this whole idea of reducing population by any means possible. And it's fascinating. And so, you know, we actually put Alex Jones on... live on KOMY opposite Rush on the big station. A lot of people have been saying we should do a flip-flop and put Alex on the big station and put Rush on the smaller station, or get rid of Rush.
I've listened to Alex live while participating in his chats and on Facebook, and it's a lot of fun to have that dynamic going live. It really is.
No, it's pretty neat here. So for those of you who don't know, you can tune into KOMY or our KOMY stream and hear Alex live weekdays from 9 to noon. And Wendy, thank you for calling with your perspectives.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call to the Saturday special, and you have a good day, okay, and a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
479-1080 is the phone number to call the Saturday special, talk with the Shaws and MZ. Lance in Santa Cruz has done just that, and he is now on the air. Hey, Lance.
Hello. My question is more of a global question, and I'm just trying to understand the global picture. This is the first time I've actually heard of Agenda 21, but I've heard a lot about One World Order and the Illuminati or whatever you want to call it, but seems to be this progression of the U.S. towards socialism. And I've heard also about this group or the government or whoever is trying to actually collapse the U.S. dollar or devalue the dollar. And I just wanted to get your comments on that and how that, any of that relates to Agenda 21, please.
Well, I think that I would characterize the movement to the New World Order as not a socialist movement, because socialism in its traditional sense indicates government control of the economy. What we're moving toward is a system of government-private business partnership. Now, that's the same thing that Mussolini called as corporatism and Hitler called as economic fascism.
that's the direction we're taking, and that is the plan for which Agenda 21 is the implementation model. And so when you have the modern liberal defending Agenda 21, either officially or just silently, what they need to understand is that the economic system of this new world order, the economic system promoted by the action plan for bringing that new world order system, which is Agenda 21, isn't the old-fashioned communist model of socialist economics. It is the Mussolini style of corporatism that drives the new world order. It is Prince Charles's Council for Sustainable Development, made up of all the major multinational corporations in the world, that is the driving force behind this. So that's why it can't be characterized as left-wing or socialist. It really is this...
totalitarianism. It's leading us towards a total control through technocrats.
Getting bailed out.
I'm sorry, say that again, Lance.
Like the big banks getting bailed out a few years ago by the government, right?
Right.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, it just sickens me.
Yeah. Well, okay, sorry to sicken you on this nice holiday weekend.
Yeah, how can I get more information on Agenda 21? Is there a website, please?
Freedomadvocates.org.
Thank you.
Yes, and if you sign up with your location, you can occasionally get area-specific news.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're
all
welcome.
Right, thank you, Lance.
Bye-bye.
In Santa Cruz. Here comes next caller will be Luis in Royal Oaks. Hey, Luis, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, hi. I just got a question on property rights. Does that include the water on your property?
Includes what?
The water.
Well, it certainly does. Water, you know, California and the state of Texas are the two places that have real water law. And when I say real water law, I mean water law that takes into the idea that private property isn't just the surface of the land. Private property takes a cone down to the center of the earth, and you own what's beneath your ground, as well as, you know, a sphere up into space above your ground. And so
right.
The real idea of private property is that, and this is California law, that the landowner owns the water under their ground. And a water district's water rights are subordinate to the landowner's water rights. And the California Supreme Court has ruled this again and again and again.
Well, wait a second. What about the Pajaro Valley Water Management?
Yeah, that I'm calling about that because they sent me... I haven't paid my bill for 10 years or whatever.
Congratulations.
But they sent me a letter... No, from a lawyer that if I don't do something in the next 30 days, they're going to take over my bank accounts or whatever they can get the money out of.
Well, the problem that you're facing is that the Pajaro Valley Water District has been deceiving the people in that area. I mean, 20 years...
Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And every once in a while, I do a radio program about it, and I carp about it
a little bit
on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I always end up about kowtowing to them and saying, well, it's easier to give them the $150 than to face what they're threatening. Okay?
Like for me, it's not $150.
Now, I got a small farm. I wish I had your balls, Luis, to be crude. I wish I did, but I don't.
Well, the water district lost a major...
Legally, can they do anything?
Well...
Can they go after my money on the bank or take over my land or whatever? I own 60 acres and I haven't paid it for 10 years.
Well, the problem is this, that the courts of California undid what the water district was attempting to do with regards to what you're talking about 10 years ago. And as a consequence of that, half of those fees were eliminated. The other half of the fees you're talking about have not been dealt with in the court system, as far as I know. The problem you're facing is that it is extraordinarily difficult to bring a lawsuit against a big agency like the Pajaro Valley Management District.
Yeah.
If you did, you're going to win. But
yeah, but how much is it going to cost me?
$1 million.
Yeah, I got it.
Well, and that's what they know, and that's why they're intimidating you. They are bullies down at the Paro Valley Water District. And I think you need to you know, I'm not in a position to be able to give you any hard advice on who to talk to and what to do. There are people who fought this before. You might be able to rally them again and see if a consortium of landowners.
Yeah,
down there,
you know, I learned that they law that the water management agency lost in some sort of a lawsuit, and I figured I was going to get a refund. And then they kept sending me bills saying you owe us money. I said the crust, the gall of these people, and I finally called them up and said, not only do I not owe you money, you owe me money. Where the hell is my refund? And you know what they said? They said the window to apply for the refund has come and gone, and you obviously did not apply, which is true. I did not apply. Why should you have to apply for a refund that was money that was taken from you illegally in the first place?
Precisely.
That's right. I mean, they did send me half of the money, and then the rest of it they kept it for.
They sent you half the money? They didn't send me. They didn't send me half the money. I wonder why they sent you half the money and not me half the money.
And what I'm saying is like. They're not fair. They're not equal. I know hundreds of wells up the head.
Luis, I have your phone number. I'm going to be calling you. Sure. I'm going to call you when I get a little bit of time with your permission here.
Yeah, sure.
I've talked with the people, and they're very nice people. You know, who run the. They're not bad people, but
nice people can be bad.
Or nice people can
do bad things.
Can perpetuate a bad situation.
Exactly. Don't be fooled by nice.
You see what they what gets me is they were using our money to do the campaign, telling people that it was people that not even have wells to vote, so they can raise the price.
Holy Christmas! Yeah, I got to know some of your story here, and we'll invite Mary Bannister, who's a very nice lady who runs that organization. We'll invite her to be on the radio, and I think she'll say yes, because I don't think she's one of these. I could be wrong. I don't think she's one of these cockroach weasels that are in other government agencies where you invite them and they say no, you know, because they don't have to. I think Mary will come on, and maybe Mary will come on with you and me. Yeah.
Every time they send me a bill that says service from this. Day to that day,
what about this lawyer? What about this lawyer? Will you send me a? You have a copy of that lawyer letter? Because I want to have that lawyer come on the radio too. Let's see if he's a weasel, and won't do it. You have that lawyer letter?
Who, me?
Yeah, you, Luis. You said they sent. Oh, you said the lawyer sent you a letter threatening that you know they're going to seize your bank.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
I
want you to save that letter because I want a copy of when I call you. I'm going to give you a fax number to send it to me. Okay.
Yes, sir. I'll good. Send it to you.
Okay. Good. And we'll have a nice little program.
Yeah. I got that letter. I got that letter 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay, good. Hey, thank you very much for calling the Saturday special. That was Luis in Royal Oaks. Here is Gary in Live Oak. Hi, Gary. You're on KSCO.
Yeah, good morning, and congratulations, Shaz.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people are really seduced by the smiles. Americans are pretty much naive. If they see Saddam Hussein bouncing some child on his knee, and they see a smile from a member of the Board of Supervisors, that that does not mean they're a good person.
That's right.
Way back in 1982, when I ran against Leon Panetta, I had advertisements in the distributed tabloid about takings, which was the confiscation by planning departments and other government agencies of private property. And it was years before that George Bush Sr., when he was ambassador to the United Nations, began a program called bundleization, which was putting cities under the UN. I'm sorry, let me clear my throat. But again, as Michael Shaw said, it's, you know, to call it socialism or to put it on one side of the spectrum is irrelevant and kind of getting people off the mark. It was staff members from both Sam Farr's office and Bruce McPherson that put together the Futures Program, an Agenda 21 program throughout the whole Monterey Bay area. And it's the centralization and moving the authority from elected representatives to organizations like AMBAG, the regionalization that is circumventing the direct laws. And it is. It does go directly to a international cabal, as Michael said earlier. And some of those belong to formal organizations, such as the Trilateral Commission. The Bush belongs to the Secret Society of Skull and Bones. One of the other heartbeats that helped propose and set up the scenery was the University of Chicago, which was funded by the Laura Spelman Foundation, who was the wife of one of the Rockefellers, and it's referred to as 1313. And by any click on somebody's computer, they can go and see how all the various unions for the city clerk, the city finance director, the International City Managers Association has been taken over by this international clique, which is part of this government-private partnership. And it, when they mean private, they don't mean the small entrepreneur. They mean the multinationals. But thank you so much, Michael, for what you've done, and both Michaels for getting this stuff out on the air, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your call, 2479-1080. We have lines open, and mz@ksco.com is the email address if you want to shoot a comment or a question. Jan in San Lorenzo Valley, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Michael Shaw and Joanne.
Hi, Jan.
Michael Z.
Hey.
Yes. I remember a while back, a couple of years back, when I heard that Santa Cruz, San Francisco, and I believe it was Austin, Texas, were given gold stars for implementing Agenda 21. Do you remember that?
Well, I'm not exactly, but I'm not surprised, because Santa Cruz and Austin and Chicago and San Francisco were all implementing this long before 1992, when Agenda 21 was called that. They were implementing policies, especially here in the 70s. And Santa Cruz was very good at it. And I think we have some sharp people who held it back, because I learned from people who know a lot that live here, that are still around. So we're fortunate that other areas are actually more advanced, even though we earned that gold star. There are other areas within the United States that are far ahead of us.
Well, you and Michael have surely helped to let people know what's going on. I really appreciate that. As far as the forest lands up here in the mountains, we've been pretty much zoned out of logging by the supervisors. You know, this whole thing was studied, the Board of Forestry, all this was taken to court, and the first time we won. You see, they wanted to use zoning against us. So the county appealed, took it to court again, and the second trial we won, so that they couldn't do the zoning. And then they got a new judge who they knew was against logging for the next appeal, and then they won. And so if you had 5 acres, you used to be able to do a logging on your property, which is so intensive with regulations, you wouldn't believe it. But now they changed it. Our supervisor up here, Mark Stone, I call him Mr. Sierra Club, he wanted to make it that you had to have 80 acres before you could do a logging. But the rest of the supervisors got him down to 40. So now you have to have 40 acres before you can do a logging. And I want to let everybody know that our forests are just ready to burn.
You're probably right, but listen, Jan, we got to go. It's the end of the hour, and I got to let people know that they are listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and they're listening to KOMY Watsonville. It's 11 a.m. here, CBS News.
CBS. CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. It's another day of tragedy and triumph in tornado-battered Moore, Oklahoma.
On the same day that three funerals are taking place, there are also three graduations for the three main high schools in Moore. The graduations are taking place as they do every year, back to back to back in Oklahoma City. At each ceremony, they are remembering the events of Monday.
We did a moment of silence, and we wore ribbons, everybody.
Montana Philpott was one of those graduating today. All of the students and teachers are wearing light blue ribbons to remember those who died. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Oklahoma City.
President Obama visits Moore tomorrow. Flash flooding has lives at risk in San Antonio. Firefighters have pulled people from submerged cars and rescued people on a bus that was swept away. Emergency manager Lawrence Trevino.
We continue to urge people to stay indoors, stay home. If you don't need to go outside and do any traveling, stay in your house. That's probably the safest place for you.
About 10 inches of rain have fallen in the past 8 hours. A class of new Army officers graduated from West Point today, and Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel had some words of wisdom for them.
The most important part of leadership is taking responsibility for your actions and decisions and holding all around you accountable.
CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Defense Secretary Hagel called sexual assaults in the military a profound betrayal of sacred oaths and trusts and said they are a scourge that must be stamped out. He told the West Point grads they must be the generation to stop it. We cannot fail each other, he said, or the men and women we lead.
There are mixed reactions to a judge's ruling that controversial Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio is racially profiling Latino drivers, the ACLU's Cecilia Wong.
This is a great day for all the people of Maricopa County who have been suffering for so long under this sheriff's unconstitutional policy of targeting Latinos for traffic stops in order to try to do immigration enforcement.
Russell Pierce of Ban Amnesty Now.
It's just outrageous that they would continue to handcuff law enforcement.
The sheriff's attorneys say they will appeal. Two German teams battle it out today for the most coveted trophy in European soccer.
Europe is all about soccer, and this is the first game in Champions League history between two German teams. It's a dream come true for the country, already the most powerful economic force on the continent, and now a guaranteed leader in soccer. The game is of worldwide significance since it's the globe's most prestigious competition in club football. For once in the history of the league, Germans find themselves heaping praise on England for playing gracious host. Henry Mulak for CBS News, Berlin.
Opponents of genetically engineered food are holding protests against Monsanto across the U.S. today. The company says its seeds help produce more food. This is CBS News.
Hi, this is John Greenhut, the CEO of PowerSwab's Teeth Whitening System. If you can have a bright white smile in 5 minutes, would I get your attention? You bet I would. The good news is the PowerSwab's Teeth Whitening System is clinically proven to whiten your teeth in 5 minutes. The secret is a tooth detergent that was developed by Dr. Martin Ginniger that lifts stains off of your teeth. In fact, PowerSwab's whitens teeth on average 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days. And it's easy. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and that's it. Oh, and better yet, unlike normal whiteners, power swabs remove stains from caps, crowns, and veneers. To try power swabs risk-free, call 1-800-963-8533. That's 1-800-963-8533. I guarantee your friends, family, and co-workers will love your movie star white smile. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-963-8533. That's 1-800-963-8533.
It's code pink in Afghanistan today.
10,000 pink balloons have been passed out in Kabul, Afghanistan, an effort, says project coordinator Sarmas Zarlash, to send a message of joy and peace.
If we can give away 10,000 pink balloons to Afghanistan, we are going to give away 10,000 opportunities to bring happiness in somebody's morning.
It is the idea of New York artist Yasmeni Arboleda.
To allow people to wonder, what is this? What does it mean? And to drive home the opportunity for possibility.
Gary Nunn, CBS News.
When disaster strikes, as it did in Moore, Oklahoma, sometimes people need more than emergency shelter, food, and cleanup supplies. So 13-year-old Hallie Carr went out on a street corner with a sign that said, "Need a hug? I am here." Plenty of people took her up on the offer, and others waved from cars, trucks, and vans. She says she'll show up every day as long as she thinks she's needed. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
11:05 at KSCO. I'm Rick O'Shea with a King of the Hill traffic update for this Saturday morning. Have some slow stuff on Highway 1 northbound from Capitola into the construction at La Fonda. Also heavy is Highway 17 southbound through Campbell, Los Gatos, and breaking up just before the summit, and then it's going to slow again in between Scotts Valley and Santa Cruz. A lot of events and a lot of people expected into the area beaches of Santa Cruz and Monterey County. So give yourself ample time to travel around the central coast. Had a bad accident in Gilroy southbound just before Leavesley Road. As a result, Highway 101 backed up all the way to South San Jose. That's again from South San Jose into Gilroy. Weather outlook today, sunny skies, a pretty mild day. Temperatures in the lower 70s at the coast in Santa Cruz, upper 50s and low 60s around the Monterey Peninsula. As you head inland up 101, Gilroy 73, Morgan Hill 76, and San Jose at 70 degrees. Before we start hour two of the Saturday special, time for the latest from Kay's Whirling.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
I wrote this in March 2007, and it's in my book. In our democratic society, how come the manner in which we elect our most important leader for president is not democratic? Whichever politician believes he or she has the wherewithal to be the leader of the greatest and most powerful country on our planet, that person must soon come to the realization that the only requirement is to have a war chest of around $100 million. This system must have been in place for so long that no one seems to question it. It surely could not have been the norm when our country was new. True, George Washington was a wealthy and much-loved patriot. So was Abraham Lincoln, loved and worthy. But he was very poor, and he became president. At what point in our history did we exclude presidential candidates who may have been wonderful leaders while we looked only to those few who had lots of money, but otherwise would not have been considered as presidential material at all? That's where we are right now. The cost of running for public office went up rapidly once TV became the perfect vehicle to showcase candidates. Let's take Hillary Clinton. Actually, let's not. She has been a presidential wannabe since she moved into the White House. Remember that foolish campaign wording she wrote? You will get two for the price of one. Whoever wanted Hillary in the first place? Her only credential is that she's a woman, and that's not good enough. She has accomplished nothing to make herself a viable candidate for the presidency, except that she has a war chest of over $100 million. And oh yes, she claims it takes a village to raise a child. That's nonsense. Some Democrats started the rumor that she is the smartest woman in the world, and that's a crock also. No wonder we wind up with mediocre leaders much of the time. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was pretty good, though he was a racist. He could not find room in our country for a shipload of Holocaust victims, so he sent them back to Germany to be annihilated. Back to Hillary, an empty suit, a contrived and staged creature who lives by the polls just like Bill did. Her magnum opus was her government health plan, and it was a disaster, discarded by the entire Congress. She was a committed liar who would not remember anything while under oath. She lied about her questionable documents while with the Rose Law Firm and mysteriously had them brought forth anonymously. Many months later, she and Bill helped themselves to furniture and other treasures that were not nailed down when they left the White House. And when ordered to return the furniture and artwork, they did so shamelessly. And now they both want another 8 years in the White House? God help us. Their greatest flaw is their arrogance and underestimation of the intelligence of we the people. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
You know, something interesting has been said to me. My mother wiped out Hillary Clinton, so now we've got Obama. Oh, my God. That's what... Anyhow... yeah, I'm going to have a talk with Mom about that. So we're going to enter into hour number two of the Saturday special, and we want to really spice it up this time. Okay, we want the phone lines to be totally jammed. Let's see what we can do to make that happen.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but. I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
All right, it says here an email from... turn the volume down here. All right, the Shaw's message would be more effective if they focused less on property rights and more on population reduction. Oh, I gotta let the lady talk and speak.
KSCO Radio. Bye.
Sorry I stepped on that sexy voice here, but I just wasn't thinking here. Yeah, the Shaw's message would be more effective if they focused less on property rights and more on population reduction, a.k.a. killing most of us through poisoning us, especially our babies through forced vaccination causing cancer, infertility, seizures, etc. Nice people, in quotes, like our own Governor Jerry Brown, signed into law just last year, AB 2109 and AB 499, gutting our vaccines exemptions and force vaccinating children at school without the knowledge and consent of parents. That's real bullying, and it's signed Anna M. All right, you think Anna M., what do you think about Anna M.? We were talking about that off the air, Joanne and I and Michael, saying, hey, maybe we ought to talk more about the population reduction, you know, to get the phones going and everything.
There's so many elements.
Oh, let me turn on your mic here. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in addition to population reduction, there are so many elements to Agenda 21 beyond property rights. It's losing our individuality, losing our political boundaries, losing our towns, counties. But to talk about the population reduction, here in Santa Cruz, out of the local Agenda 21, is a whole chapter on population, which goes back to what your emailer was saying. There is an element of enabling people to get sick rather than protecting us with health and safety.
Yeah, but I would say this, not defensively speaking, but it was George Washington who said private property and freedom are inseparable. Well, as our private property rights have diminished or been lost, what we see is that then our politicians begin to enact the kinds of legislation that she describes. And of course, that legislation is pure ultimate Agenda 21 policy being implemented. I mean, Jerry Brown is a guy who would run around at the UN conferences, you know, looking for support. This is before he became mayor of Oakland. He has been a long-standing, hardcore advocate for Agenda 21, and the kind of legislation she's talking about, taking away parental rights, is all part of Agenda 21. There's no doubt about it.
We have not tried very hard to get our current governor, Jerry Brown, the same person, on a Saturday special program. But I believe, and maybe I'm just, you know, not realistic at this at all, I believe that we can do that. I think Jerry likes us. I think he remembers he's got a good, warm, fuzzy feeling about KSCO because back – what am I hearing all this? Back when we were – in 1994, Jerry Brown was sort of out of the political, you know, view, and he decided – someone told him he should take a stab at commercial talk radio, and he did. And we were his number one affiliate. I mean, he got to about 30 stations, I think, but all the phone calls to his show came from KSCO country, where he has a big bevy of supporters. And he came down here not once but twice and, you know, did his program from KSCO and then went out and did some, you know, events and things that were pretty cool. And he likes us. So maybe we'll be able to get Jerry to come. And I wasn't even thinking about asking him about Agenda 21.
Well, we've got some good history on Jerry Brown and his direct involvement with the United Nations in terms of.
Is he one of the people? He seems to me to be a pretty straight shooter guy, too. I mean, is he someone who would lie about not knowing about Agenda 21 when he's one of the main guys, according to you? Or?
Well, we'll have to find out.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. If you want to talk to us here at the KSCO Saturday Special, we have Michael and Joanne Shaw as our guest. Property rights is one of my favorite topics, but it's been well pointed out that that's a subject that has a limited appeal. And to me, it's the absolute most important subject of all.
Well, think of it this way. Private property is not the expression of a thing. Private property begins with your person. My hands are my private property. My thoughts are my private property. As soon as we lose a system where private property isn't acknowledged, you lose your being because you then become property. We either have the right to private property, including ourselves, or we become property. So people who dismiss the idea of private property are missing the boat because private property is a much broader concept than simple ownership of a thing. It's the relationship between a person and something that is private property. It's my relationship between me and my hands and between me and my mind that is the essence of private property.
We are one line away from fully jammed phone lines now. 479-1080. We have one more call. By the way, we'll get to all of you, we promise, here. So don't be concerned. And we'll go through it pretty quickly here. Let's go to Joan in Watsonville. Joan, welcome to the Saturday Special with MZ and
the
Shaws.
Good morning. I am so thrilled to hear the Shaws. They do just an impeccable job of explaining this topic. And if listeners don't already know, when you do this, what they're doing, they have sacrificed their time, their money, in some cases it's your personal health, and sometimes it's your personal safety. So they're doing an excellent job. You know, you've had different callers talk about timber a lot. I've heard water come up. I've heard minerals come up. I was one of the early researchers in this whole UN agenda. And when I was at the 2002 Conference on Environment and Development in South Africa, it was, you have all of the alphabet soup organizations of the United Nations, and just to give some proof source to what is being said, I was at a press briefing with Colin Powell and the United States Ambassador to South Africa and the South African Ambassador, and they were just celebrating in this press conference how they had locked up, I think it was 40 million acres in South Africa to preserve it for sustainable development. But as a press attendee in all of the press briefings with the State Department, some of the biggest representatives that were there were the head of the lumber or the timber industry for the whole United States. These are huge, huge, mega multinational corporations. And when I asked the ambassadors if this was a debt for equity swap, they hadn't announced it yet, and they were loath to admit it, but they said, yes, this is a debt for equity swap. Well, now we're talking about the Bretton Woods institutions, and here we're connecting finances and economy. The Bretton Woods institutions are the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and your World Trade Organization came out of that. So the people that are benefiting from locking up this land, from taking away our personal property and depriving us of the use of the resources, whether it be water, minerals, timber, are the mega multi-corporations. Those are the people that are cashing in.
Okay, I learned something new. That's the big thing that I learned in this program today. Hey, I want to thank you for your call very much, Joan in Watsonville. And now we're going to go to Daniel, also in Watsonville. Daniel, welcome to the Saturday special with the Shaws and MZ.
Yeah, I think really at the end of the day, it just comes down to control. I mean, this has been going on for thousands of years. You have people, you know, of great wealth and great power who want to control the population. It's not new. They're a lot slicker today than they used to be back in the old days. They just kill off people. Well, I guess they're trying to do that quietly. But again, I think some people get caught up in the minutia, but at the end of the day, it's about control. And I attended a meeting in Santa Cruz on, what was it, Thursday night, this Moving Forward 2035, where they're planning for our future. And you know what? I don't want people planning for my future. I want to have my own future. And I think this is a big problem. I think if people figure out that we have people who are trying to basically control our destiny, I don't think people would like that. I guess I'd just like the comments of your guests on that.
Yeah, Daniel, and I think you've got it right. It all is all about controlling us. And these meetings are such a farce because they make it seem like we're weighing in on the plan when everything's predetermined already. It's ridiculous. And people are being lied to. And that's what I'm here to wake people up in this community, that these community meetings, neighborhood meetings, transportation plans, studies,
the visioning,
please understand this is Agenda 21. It's not the pretty pictures and warm and fuzzy words that are being presented. It's like Daniel says, control ultimately of us.
Go ahead, Daniel.
And I noticed I read the article in the Santa Cruz Sentinel the next day, and it was, I would say, more than half the people were in dissent. They were basically against this thing, and there was no mention of it in the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And the Sentinel, I mean, that's as bad as it's basically just
could it
just
be
propaganda.
That the reporter for the Sentinel is for it and
well, not for it, but the Sentinel lies by omission. They mentioned no part that there were any people who were dissenting against this plan. It was all warm and fuzzy and how wonderful it was. The Sentinel, you know, you can't rely on what the Sentinel tells us. They lie by omission.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right. There were other meetings that were represented.
Those are very strong words.
I'll second those words. I was at the same meeting, and there were about 60 people there, and maybe 20 of them were government officials. And the other 40 were almost unanimously there in opposition. And this meeting was held down at the police station. It was the meeting, I think it's important to note, the meeting was brought by AMBAG, the Association of Monterey Bay Area Governments. Now, people need to understand what AMBAG is. AMBAG is a regional governance outfit created in the 1950s, originally, this concept of COGS, or Councils of Governments, were created under the Eisenhower regime. And today, what these Councils of Governments, or COGS, like AMBAG do, is they bring in a Sovietized system of government where the directions come from on top. And so you've got the federal government, through these COGS, importing all the Agenda 21 policies, and then they come out in these local meetings, these local meetings where people have to sign up for these visioning concepts. And these meetings are happening all around Santa Cruz now. The Soquel Corridor Program is the idea of how they're going to bring the smart growth, Agenda 21 stack and pack building units to Santa Cruz and control the traffic model that is built. And so we need to understand that AMBAG is a regional Sovietized system of government that is infusing all of this into Santa Cruz. It's happening all around the country. The San Francisco Bay Area is in a tremendous point of pressure as their COG, called ABAG, is transforming the entire San Francisco Bay Area without anyone's knowledge with a quarter of a trillion trillion with a T dollars from the federal government to reshape the Bay Area. And so we've got to take hold and recognize that this regionalism that is brought to us through the bag organizations, a bag in the Bay Area and bag here, I say no bags.
Right, no bags.
No bag.
And it takes away our elected representatives' authority. They're basically diluting, absolving themselves of this responsibility that we elected them to do.
In order to get federal money, you have to belong to the COG these days. And if you belong to the COG, you have to do what the COG tells you. And this is all Agenda 21 pro forma coming out of the federal government.
And I asked one question of the facilitator. His name was Bill Wiseman. I asked him, and I was very polite. I said, could you please tell us, Bill, how much you're being paid, you know, to facilitate this thing? And he said, well, I don't think this is pertinent to our conversation or our program here. And it's like, that's taxpayer money. We have a right to know that. Now, the lady from AMBAC said, well, we can research that, but I don't know what his reluctance was to tell the audience what he's being paid. And then I asked him later on, I said, well, could you tell us who's paying you? And again, he said, well, that's not pertinent. Well, of course it's pertinent. We need to know. So these people are being very, very deceitful.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention, Daniel in Watsonville. Now it's time for Charles in Castroville. Hey, Charles, you're on the air on KSEO. Hello, Charles.
Charles, hang up.
No, Charles is there. Well, wait a minute. Who are you? Who are you who just said Charles hung up?
I am.
Now you just hung up. So I don't I don't know what that's all about, but let's go to John in Carmel. John in Carmel, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, Michael, not all is lost. I just got back from the Great Society experiment. It was conducted in Detroit, Toledo, and Cleveland, and the whole thing, none of these people can work without free people making money and making money expand into businesses, and all this stuff will fail without it. And if you could see what Cleveland and Detroit looked like, you wouldn't believe it. And it's all these progressives that thought that they could run the world by spending other people's money. It won't work. Just like the draft, it won't work.
Okay. Well, so how was it that you were back there observing all this?
Well,
I mean, what is that? Is that?
Well, I was born in Cleveland, and I went back there just to see some of the, like, Severance Hall and the Art Museum. That's all around Case Western University.
Oh, so it was a vacation for you. It was a vacation. It wasn't a business trip or anything. Okay, great. So
yeah. And I wanted to see the Ford Museum, and then got some relatives in Toledo. It's so poor there that there aren't people begging.
I see.
You know, and it's because the economy is ruined. I counted 5 temples that when I was a boy that were very, very special places that were abandoned. Abandoned. Not including every temple, there was 10 churches abandoned. Millions of square feet of factories like Eaton Axle, Fisher Body, Willard Battery, all white trucks, all those were abandoned. Apartment houses, abandoned. Storehouses, abandoned. And that means nobody's paying tax on them. So it's just causing things to go down. And I heard somebody say something, the way they figured that they could revive it, it would never happen, is to put a fence around it, no EPA laws, and no taxes, and people would rebuild the infrastructure, you know, do it for a 50-year period, and it would come back to being a vibrant place again.
Do you believe that?
Do I believe that?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
You know, the infrastructure's there. You know, it's like I talk to people that are leaving the country because they don't want to pay the taxes. They're very, very wealthy people. They've re-registered their jet airplanes in other places. They're yachts in other places, and I think that's what will happen. I think the American people are smart enough to survive. I mean, I remember Kennedy and Johnson pushing the Great Society, and it affected me greatly because I was white, and I had people that were of color or of a different gender that could get ahead in my business of flying. And they would hire them with lower qualifications just to make things look right. And it didn't work. And it will fail. And again, I really believe entrepreneurialism will work. I believe your school systems are failing because of that. I'm seeing a lot of stuff that's going to be online where you can get degrees now. And instead of brick and mortar, and I believe that university up there in Santa Cruz is cheating you because they're not paying taxes.
Now that's a good Saturday special. why should the university, and why should churches, for that matter, not pay property taxes?
Well, let's go back to another thing, the business of these. Now, I could see if the churches or synagogues or whatever use the schools on the weekend and paid a small price for that because they've all got auditoriums. But why are we subsidizing these people that have these multi-million dollar businesses? And that's no kidding. They are multi-million dollar businesses and don't pay a penny of tax.
Joanne is nodding her head.
Yeah, there's a huge corporate element.
All right. Well, boy, now we're coming up with so many topics of great subsequent programs. John, as always, I appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Thank you,
Michael,
so much.
Michael, it's always great to talk to you.
And
have a good day, and I'm listening to the program. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Here comes Pat in Santa Cruz. Hi, Pat. You're on KSCO.
Hi.
Hi.
We're overpopulated. Do you want to talk about population? But
sure.
You talk to me about it?
Sure.
Well, we're overpopulated. That's okay. So what are we going to do? Kill people? That's the usual response. Well, no, that's the traditional way that populations get controlled. The idea would be to promote birth control. How do we do that without being Nazis? Well, one way we can do it is to stop subsidizing people for having babies. Why should they get tax credits? If somebody doesn't want to have a kid, why should they have to pay for somebody else's kid? Well, you're going to need to have your Social Security someday, so you're just paying into the kitty. Well, what if I'm not going to stick around once I can't take care of myself? So then I don't want to have to take care of somebody else's kid. Besides, the bigger picture is we are overpopulated, and that's what's driving everybody bananas, because they keep getting more and more crowded and there's less stuff for them to go around, because whether they say so or not, they're using up the stuff that took geological time to accrue, and it's being used up within a couple centuries of the Industrial Revolution, which made population explosion in the first place. Through the vast majority of our time on this earth, we never numbered in a billion. Now we're multiplying so fast that there's another billion in a little more than a decade. And we go, oh, well, that can't be helped.
Well, clearly, Pat, you have a philosophy that differs from mine. Human beings are made in the image and likeness of God, and I think if you accept the premise that you're accepting, one does not have that view of human beings and human nature. So I reject the idea out of hand. I also reject the idea because it's premised on the notion that we're just too crowded. And the reality is, if you get in an airplane in San Jose tonight or tomorrow and you fly to New York, you're gonna cross a land that doesn't show evidence of population.
We're being made to feel like we're overcrowded.
And that's the whole smart growth dynamic of Agenda 21, which is to force us to jam into these narrow little confines and live in stack and pack units and all be put on the same road at the same time.
Instead
of spreading out.
All right. So thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special. Now we go to Richard N. Watsonville. Hey, Richard, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Let me just say that I really appreciate these guests you have today, man. I've never heard them before, but the first time I ever heard about Agenda 21 was that lady, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. Remember the lady we met at the...
Yeah, Jeannie Soderman. Queen? Whatever happened to Jeannie and Jim Soderman?
I don't know, but she's the one that came back from China from the women's conference. That was the first time we heard about Agenda 21.
And Nicaragua, and I think.
That was afterwards, in Brazil. But the one in China was the one that Hillary Clinton went to. And that's what made it official or something. And I always wondered, why did they go for the women first? And then my second question is, what is with all these land trust companies around here gobbling up all this land, and then it becomes tax-free? That land north of UCSC was all given to UCSC by one man, Al Smith, and they pay no taxes anywhere. Nobody's allowed on that land, and they got people protecting it. Just like Alice Wilder's ranch. I went out there not too long ago. Can't go out there. What's with that, Mike?
Well, land trusts are an engine for the implementation of Agenda 21. The Santa Cruz Land Trust, for people particularly in the mountains who aren't familiar with the maps of the Santa Cruz Land Trust, go to the website and look at Santa Cruz Land Trust and see their maps. They've got a wildlands, which means to be ultimately devoid of all human beings and devoid of all resource production, that has been established, that is supported by Bruce McPherson, was supported by Ellen Peary and the rest of the Board of Supervisors.
But let me qualify that. Exempt from resource production by private individuals like us, not the big corporations. They will,
yeah,
they
and
will
we
have
don't have a say so in it at all, right?
No, that's right. And the Land Trust of Santa Cruz County has called for the taking by way of conservation easement, by purchase by the Land Trust, or through regulation by the Planning Department of thousands of acres in Santa Cruz County. And these land trusts exist all over the country, and they're just gobbling up private property to put it into this public dynamic that will be run by the corporations that run Agenda 21 programs.
Well, the South County Land Trust down here is actually from South County Santa Clara, right?
Right, and that's part of Agenda 21, is to blur the boundaries. In all of these plans, there's always the mixing of the town-county borders.
And then they get these city workers going up to the city council saying, well, this is state-mandated or this is county-mandated.
Yes.
Who the hell mandated Alice Wilder's ranch to be state-owned and have some lady from Argentina come and tell me how that property became? You know, she's given me the history of the property. I was born and raised here.
Yeah, there are a lot of shills that are making a lot of money.
Well, I think that's what it's all about, is they come here and then they get in on this Agenda 21 or Land Trust or these organizations, and they wouldn't do it if there wasn't money in it for them.
That's right. Something's in it for them. It's usually money, power, position.
But what I'd like to say to those people is that under this New World Order, your job now may be to confiscate or otherwise, you know, advance the agenda of Agenda 21. But in the end, we all become subject to these policies. We all become the slaves of the New World Order. Those of us that survive their population reduction goals. And so there's really nothing in it for anybody living in Santa Cruz County. If you're an active Agenda 21 participant, rethink your priorities because you are cutting your own throat.
Well, when you do that, you got to think back to guys like John Laird, Fred Keeley, Marty Wormhout, and the Greenbelt. Right?
You got it. That's exactly right.
You know, this is sickening, and as people, none of them are from here.
You can add the Chamber of Commerce and the Business Council. You can add a lot more to that list you just
gave. Well, because they're flashing the cash to those local guys.
That's right.
And trying to, you know, have everybody think that they're thinking local.
That's right.
Wow.
And the people that are from not from this area that are in here actually think they're doing something honorable on a global basis.
Well, they've been conditioned and brainwashed, if that's what they're truly thinking.
We have to understand that our school systems are designed to create global citizens. There was a poll 2 years ago that over 50% of the graduates that year from high school and college did not identify themselves as Americans. They identify themselves as global citizens. The globalists have taken over our school system. They've centered it in Washington, D.C., and now we've got these common core standards that are coming out across the nation that are designed to dumb our youth down and make them part of this submerged globalist order.
And part of the workforce.
I want to thank Richard N. Watsonville for his great call to the Saturday special. Here's Gordy in Boulder Creek. Gordy, you're on the air.
Good morning, Michael.
Hi.
And congratulations, Shaz. I love it that you're winning.
Thank you.
You know I've been following you for years, and I admire you for your stamina. I'm going to recite something here short. We the people are at war for our survival. The main force witnesses against us locally is the government and UC Santa Cruz. They are the largest employer in the area and create most of the problems. Though outnumbered, our resistance will stop them as it did in 1776. We're not going away. These problems, just a couple of them here, the population reduction, it's because of contrived shortages or the illusion of shortages. Whatever those things are that you need in life and you have a problem getting, it's not your fault. It's the fault of people that have rigged the system against you. Again, I want to point out that this state is controlled by the government and people working in the government. And again, the problems are those that they've created. If they weren't here, we wouldn't have those problems to deal with. They control, as 5 years ago, it was 42.3% of the land in California is off limits to the citizens. It's under land trust. It's held by government agencies and people that support these things like the Sierra Club, these land trusts, et cetera, et cetera. That's a pretty good percentage of the force that we're dealing with. We still have the majority force at our disposal. For me, the way I resist may not be the same way as somebody else resists. Somebody may be doing research, but what we need to do is stay connected, and I admire you, Michael, for being at the center of this vortex. You have been the number one communicator in this area, connecting people together. So thank you very much, Michael, and KSCO, for doing something of service to every human being in the area.
Well, thank you, Gordy.
Thanks for the kind words. Okay, that was Gordy in Boulder Creek. We have Stan and Salinas, Jerome and Castroville. I think Jerome has waited long enough here, and we have somebody else who's just calling in. But let's go to Jerome. Do I have your name right, Jerome, in Castroville?
Yes, you do. Okay. This is Michael Swirling. I'm the one who ran for governor in 1990 and 94.
Oh, okay. Yeah, McCready, I think, right?
Yeah, there you okay. go. Very good. Okay. Thank you. Yes, but still with the land, taking the land away, Santa Cruz had that where they were taking it for the horse trail.
Yeah.
They take it away with that?
Yeah. No.
They didn't because people were made aware and protested. Otherwise, they would have.
Yeah.
But people stood up
against it. I think we had the McCrary people from the McCrary family in on that trails thing and some other things. So, but anyhow, yeah, that's... So, right, that did not happen. But
all the water problems and everything we're having right now, you know, over here at Granite Ridge in the Groondale area, they actually built the homes and everything there without any water. They put the water tanks up and everything else, but no water, and then they sold the homes. And now they're going back and they're trying to overcharge the people. Or the water to make hook up the water so they can have water in their homes that they bought. And that was all the supervisor.
Well, not good. So
it continues to happen. And the confiscation of property, that's going to continue to happen. But as long as good people like you keep it going and give us the opportunity to let them know we aren't going to put up with it and just continue to push them, we will get it our way, hopefully.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerome in Castroville. I appreciate your call to 479-1080. That's the KSCO Saturday special, and that's in Area 831. Here's Stan in Salinas. Hi, Stan. You're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, Michael. I enjoy everything you always put on. Just as a little something, the group Genesis in the early 70s put out a song called Get 'Em Out by Friday. It's on their Foxtrot album, and if your listeners kind of look it up, it's a lot of people are aware of early Genesis. They like the 80s stuff, but it's all about moving people into smaller divisions, and then they have genetic control comes on and say how they're going to make people shorter in height. They can fit twice as many in the same building site. It's just an interesting song, but kind of parallels what Agenda 21 is, cramming people in high density. So if your listeners out there, just look it up. It's called Get Them Out by Friday.
Well, thank you for that contribution.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Enjoy
it. Appreciate it, Stan. You
take
have a good
care.
One. We have our own Georgia from Georgia on the air on Wednesdays on KSCO Presents. And you are on site at the Santa Cruz Anti-Monsanto Rally, correct, Georgia?
I am, Michael, and I hope you can hear me. There's a lot of horn blowing and noise going on.
I hear you just fine. Thank you.
Okay. We've got about 200 and something people here. They had expected 500, but it looks about 200, maybe a little bit more.
Where is here, Georgia?
At the clock tower down in Santa Cruz, and this is going on till 3 o'clock if anybody wants to come down and join. But, Michael, the reason I'm calling you is I picked up all the bumper stickers from the station today because I thought I'd do a little promoting for us.
Yeah.
And let me show you what I'm finding out, Michael, which is a little disturbing. So many people do not listen.
Uh-huh.
They don't listen to KSCO 1080.
Okay. Did you ask them why? And is it because they haven't heard of us?
Some of them listen to other stations. Some of them just do not listen to radio. Some of them say they don't feel that they used to listen to KSCO, but they don't listen now because they don't feel they learn anything. And I said, oh my goodness. You know, we were very strongly on the air talking about the very event you're here today protesting. Oh, really? I said, yes, we try to keep all of the issues on the air and we allow both sides to come in and debate it. So I've given the bumper stickers out to, you know, I've brought as many as I could get, and hopefully we'll stimulate some more listeners. But we need to do something, Michael, about promoting KSCO 1080 AM. I don't know what happened to that beautiful billboard coming through the mountains, but I'm kind of surprised. I thought I would be filled down here with KSCO listeners, and that's not the case.
Uh-huh. No, what we find about KSCO, most KSCO listeners belch and fart, and they don't do much of any. They don't get involved in activism. You know?
Really?
Yeah, and that's the honest to God truth. We have huge numbers of listeners, but there aren't too many active ones. It's true.
Wow.
Most, so they're silent.
Is that because of age?
Yeah. No. They listen. They just don't. They listen and they appreciate the station, but they don't do anything. You know.
Uh huh.
So I mean, that's the honest to God truth.
Yeah, well, I just thought this was a great opportunity down here to promote us as a local radio station trying to get the information out to people. And I was just a little discouraged by that, so I wanted to pass that on.
Well, I think the information has been gotten out, and like I said, mm-hmm. you know, the people
they just
who
don't
get
react.
It, yeah, I mean, you react, I don't react as much as you do. I have other mm-hmm. things, and other people have other things too. So it's just a question of I think the station has way more listeners every day than it ever had the day before.
Good.
That's what I believe,
so.
But
well,
I don't believe that most people have fire in their belly and the time they have families and they have lives and their life doesn't happen to coincide with your life or my life.
Yeah.
You know? But they appreciate that they have the radio station. I think,
yes.
And thank you so much for being out there and doing a little bit of promotion here.
Yeah,
you know?
And I the other thing that's been interesting is there's so much animosity down here against Monsanto and the guy who's the head of food and safety. And as I walk around and talk to these people, they say we should fire him. I say, what about Obama? He is the guy that appointed him, and there's all kinds of excuses still, Michael. I'm just blown away.
What are some of the excuses?
The excuses are he's doing the best he can with what he inherited from Bush, which is such a joke at this point. But there's just this unwillingness for people to connect the dots and to take the accountability and responsibility to the top. They don't want the buck to stop with him. Somehow they want everybody below him to be punished, but not him. And I don't get it. Honest to God, I don't get it.
Well, maybe Michael Shaw gets it.
Well, I think the issue that's presented here is this phony dialectic that's been created in this country. You're either on the left or you're on the right. And what they're attempting to do, they being the globalists, is they're attempting to create this consensus that really unifies the left and the right into this world government, world order dynamic. And what we need to recognize is that we're being set up by the left and the right to do that. And we need to reject our identification with both those sides and come to a consensus on top of this dynamic that promotes the idea of individual liberty and personal freedom and the ideas upon which the greatest political experiment in all of human history, that is the founding of the American Republic, is based upon. And that is the idea that each human being is viable in his own right and isn't to be subjected to this kind of government control. And to identify against Monsanto and call yourself a modern liberal is nonsense. Because to identify yourself as against trade policies that increase our unemployment and force families to have both parents go to work so the government can take care of your children during the day, you know, is another whole evidence of how it is that by creating this dialectic, this left-right dialectic, we all get sucked into a vacuum that takes none of us anywhere but on a path to world government where human beings are going to be regarded as chattel.
There, yes. What do you think about that, Georgia?
Is that Michael Shaw?
It sure was, yeah.
Well, Michael Shaw, you are a hero to me, and I want to say to you, I'm also down here asking people about Agenda 21, and a vast majority do not know what I'm talking about here. So the word is not out that way either, so I guess we have a lot of work to be done, Michael. And I know you've been at it for decades, right?
Well, the word is getting out. It's getting out slowly. Yeah. I mean, you've got newspapers owned by Bill Gates. He owns all the newspapers in the San Francisco Bay Area, including the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And Bill Gates is one of those globalists who is fully behind Agenda 21. And so the message that we deliver at Freedom Advocates does get no attention from the Santa Cruz Sentinel.
That's right.
Or the San Jose Mercury, or the Monterey Herald, or all the Oakland Tribune, and all the rest of the newspapers in this area owned by Bill Gates.
Yes. Well, all I'm saying is there's still a lot of work to be done, and I guess each one of us are doing what we can. And I appreciate you so much. You have no idea. And what I'm also telling the people down here on this Monsanto, the greatest way to boycott Monsanto is don't buy anything wrapped in plastic. Don't buy a boxed product because you cannot be assured of any six processed foods that you're getting what you think you're getting. Eat real, clean, fresh, regular food from your farmers, from your market. You know, shop the outer perimeter of the grocery store. The way you stop them is through the pocketbook. Am I correct?
Oh, I think that's right. And if we don't, we're going to be enjoying Soylent Green someday.
Yes,
Soylent Green.
Yes.
You don't remember the movie Soylent Green?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I need to watch
Well, I don't
it.
Want to take up Michael's airtime. I didn't know who was on today. I just wanted to check in and encourage people who are listening, if you want to come down and participate with the folks down here.
Okay. Maybe I'll make it after I do something else. But anyhow, thank you, Georgia, for calling
All
me
right.
Saturday
thank
special.
You, guys. And
There goes Georgia. And before we go to Terry and Ben Lohman, most likely our last caller of the day, I want to thank our sole sponsor of the Saturday special. May I ask you, Michael and Joanne, a personal question?
Possibly you'll get an answer.
Okay. Have you folks ever gone to the What happened to my brain? Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, the California Grill restaurant at the corner of Freedom Boulevard and Airport Boulevard in Freedom.
I've heard it's outstanding. We have not been yet.
It is absolutely outstanding, and I highly recommend that you go there.
We will go there.
And I'm not going to stop at recommending that you go there. I'm going to recommend that all of our listeners, all 500,000 of them,
I thought it was a million, wasn't it?
Well,
Anyway, they should all go to the California Grill because I've heard really good things about
it. Right, and they have orgasmic food. Excuse me, organic food. Organic food that from the Lakeside Organics, which is owned by the same a person who owns the California Grill.
Fantastic.
And they give you very good, fair servings, and it's all very, very delicious. And they're very smart because they go after the chefs of restaurants that close down for whatever reason. They don't close down because the food is bad. They close down because of the government or because they're sick and tired or they're ready to retire or whatever. But, if you remember, I understand that the chefs from the old Adolph's restaurant in Santa Cruz and from the Green Valley Grill are now at California Grill. Anyhow, go in and thank them for supporting KSCO and the Saturday special in particular, and tell them MZ sent you, okay? That's the California Grill, corner of Airport and
Freedom.
And Freedom Boulevards in Freedom, California. Okay, Terry and Ben Lohman, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I really appreciate your show today. It's good, very good. And I wholeheartedly concur with Michael Shaw's analysis of the situation. This Republican-Democrat adversarial situation is just a scam to keep our eye off the ball.
It's been pretty effective, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely effective, no doubt about it. I mean, they pit us against each other thinking that our side is right, and really they're both together. But, you know, I don't hear much about solutions to this. I hear a lot of complaining. There's always a lot of complaining about Obama. I don't like him any better than anybody else does. But I don't see solutions. But I know one solution, and when it all comes down to it, this whole thing is about money. Now, I've been a life member of the National Rifle Association for as long as I can remember. And I've been in this county about 35 years, not as long as a lot of other people. But, you know, the only reason we have a Second Amendment is because there's 5 million core members of the National Rifle Association out there that write them checks, and their lawyers go in and go after them. You can't do this without money. We can all complain over the radio show. We can complain of all this as little tiny groups. The whole thing is about organization, in my opinion, is that we need an organization that has the capability of fighting these people. You can't fight them individually. Forget it. It's like your water thing in Watsonville example.
I disagree with that. I have to interject. People can do a remarkable job as a one lone voice. We've seen it happen, so it is possible.
Yeah, but you just nip away at it a little here and a little there. They're organized nationally and globally. How do you fight them individually? It's good to be individually against it, but it's organization. You have to be able to go at them straight on. Well, there would be no Second Amendment. I guarantee you right now there would be no Second Amendment without the National Rifle Association.
Well, I can report that across the country, work from organizations like Freedom Advocates and others that are focused on this dynamic have caused communities across the country to kick the ICLEI organization out. Communities across the country are beginning to recognize the COG. Here we call it AMBAG and what they're about, and pressure is building on these COGs. People across the country are joining in to shows like this one, and awareness is growing. The problem we have is that the monetary system is set up to fund and support the other side, and so they have all the money. They print it when they want more, and we don't.
Yeah, but maybe we can organize using media. Using, sort of like we did, with Citizens for Planning Reform, a long time ago. Why not?
Well, if there were more stations like this one,
let's talk about this. Yeah. We should have a program that goes out that's available to stations. I think there are lots of stations. All the Alex Jones stations will pick up a program like this, for example, and a lot more. Hey,
But don't we need to be willing, if we want our freedoms, for each individually, for us to reach down in our pocket and write a check to help support this?
Yes.
I mean, I do. I'm ready,
Well, check out Freedom Advocates, and
I will. I will.
And any donations are appreciated.
Thank you, Terry and Ben Lohman. Appreciate your call. Here's Rick in Idaho. We don't have much time, less than 2 minutes, Rick, but you're on.
I just want to let everybody know to support the longevity products, True to Life, and the Pollen Burst or Pollen Burst Plus. It'll help finance your station. It'll help.
Well, that's true. That's true. And actually, we just received this week, a couple days ago, 150 or 180 Healthy Start packs here that we're going to start seeding local retail outlets so that it'll be real easy for people to pick up. They won't have to send away and so forth. And maybe we'll sell it from this radio station here. We're trying to figure it out. Anyhow, that's it, gang. That's it.
You can
tune in. Oh, wait a minute. There's a minute left, too. So thank you, Rick. Wow, yeah. What a great commercial he did from Idaho. Appreciate that. Joanne and Michael, continued success to you. We're behind you all the way, and we get together and sort of because we're totally on the same page, and we want to use the media effectively. And new media is very effective, the internet and so forth in putting out this information. The program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. If you want to tune in on KSCO, and I think we're on KMPH too, if I'm not mistaken, KMPH in the Valley. Modesto, I think we've been simulcasting our programming on that station for a while, and that's it. See you next week, and thanks for being with us this week. Okay, so
KSCO. Commentary.
No, not the KSCO commentary. We got to do that. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here is CBS News.
Residents of San Antonio are being urged to stay home if possible because of flash floods fueled by torrential rain. The National Weather Service's Joe Arellano.
It's unusual in the amount that's coming down so quickly. We've had upwards amounts of 7 to 10 inches of rain in the city of San Antonio. In fact, one location actually reported a 24-hour amount of over 17 inches of rainfall.
Firefighters have pulled people from submerged cars and a bus that was swept away. There'll be a lot of consoling going on at graduation ceremonies for more Oklahoma high schools today.
How are you supposed to act on graduation day when your home has just been destroyed? A number of high school students are dealing with that here today, including Heather Balliott.
It's kind of like hard to be happy like at this moment right now.
One of those taking part in the next graduation set to begin at this hour is Allison Costella. Her mother, Terry, died on Monday. Her classmate, Jake Spradling.
I'm going to be giving her a big hug and telling her that I love her and that I'm here for her in any way.
And she is bringing a picture of her mother to the graduation ceremony. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Oklahoma City.
Investigators are examining every crack in what's left of the Skagit Bridge north of Seattle. Part of the span collapsed after being bumped by a big truck. CBS's Mark Rosenkirk.
They're going to really take a look at these girders that were struck. They're going to be looking for corrosion. They're going to be looking for fatigue. They're going to be looking for rust. They're going to make sure it was built to standard.
A day after President Obama at the Naval Academy called for moral courage to fight the military sexual abuse program, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel drove the point home at the West Point graduation.
This scourge must be stamped out. We are all accountable and responsible for ensuring that this happens.
A Pentagon study estimates as many as 26,000 military service members were sexually assaulted last year. French authorities are looking for the man who stabbed a French soldier in the neck in a busy commercial district in Paris. He will survive. Officials say they're looking at any possible link to the recent slaying of a British soldier. In Beirut, the leader of the militant group Hezbollah pledged to stay in the Syrian war to the end of the road to bring victory to ally President Bashar al-Assad. In a TV speech, Hassan Nasrallah said Syria and Lebanon were facing a threat from radical Sunni Islamists. Thousands of people, including runners who couldn't make it to the finish line, ran the final mile of the bomb-marred Boston Marathon today. WBZ-TV's Bree Season.
You saw a sea of blue and yellow, which is the Boston Athletic Association that hosts the marathon. That's their colors. You saw a lot of kids out there running with their parents. And it was really just a feel-good event, despite it being cold and rainy. People just wanted to be together today.
This is CBS News.
Ladies, when was the last time you were happy with your body? If you're like most women, it was before you turned 40. That's because age 40 is when hormonal imbalance starts causing symptoms like hot flashes, sleeplessness, low energy, irritability, and lack of sexual desire. It's not your fault. And You don't have to let these symptoms reduce your quality of life anymore, because now we have Ambaren. Ambaren is clinically shown to balance hormones and relieve the uncomfortable symptoms of menopause safely and effectively. In fact, Ambaren is so powerful, we guarantee you will love your body again. Right now, you can receive a guaranteed risk-free trial of Ambaren with a 30-day supply free. Call now and we'll send it to you today. 1-800-510-3558. And when you call right now, you'll also receive our amazing weight loss program for women over 40, absolutely free. But you have to call now at 1-800-510-3558. That's 1-800-510-3558. A British woman starting a new career as a DJ.
91-year-old Margaret Lee Morgan went to British radio station Angel FM looking for a job answering phones. Instead, she got her own show with a playlist that ends in 1959.
The Ink Spots, singing Maybe.
Margaret's had a lot of careers. She ensured British soldiers got paid in World War II, and she's been a nurse. Retirement, she says, didn't suit her.
It's lovely suddenly to be alive again.
It's all still new, but Margaret's now comfortable behind the mic and works her own control board.
And here we go.
Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
The New York Aquarium, damaged by Superstorm Sandy, partially reopens today. Visitors will be able to see the pools containing walruses, harbor seals, and other mammals at the Coney Island Marine Haven. But the back half of the aquarium will be closed for repairs until 2016. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
It's 12:05 on this Saturday afternoon, the 25th of May. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update for this Saturday afternoon. As we look about the Central Coast, there is a lot of traffic and a lot of backup to let you know about. Highway 1 north and south in Santa Cruz, both heavy as you approach Soquel. Northbound 1 breaks up just after Morrissey. South 1 is heavy until midway between 41st Avenue and Soquel. Towards the west side of Santa Cruz, Highway 1 off of 17 as that transitions into Mission Street, very heavy, as is River Street, Ocean Street, Water, Soquel. All of the surface streets around the beaches are going to be very heavy today. Highway 101 southbound is backed up from San Martin from South San Jose, so it's a big problem, 101. And then Highway 1 south in Monterey is going to be heavy between Seaside and the 218 Canal.